Blog Talk Radio.
Bibles there, we will go ahead and get this started. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when Yah made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests would come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of Yah, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of Yah had filled the house of Yah. Then spake Solomon, Yah said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be Yah Elohim of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and has with his hand fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Yah Elohim of Israel. And Yah said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, that thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son shall come forth out of thy loins. He shall build the house unto my name. And Yah hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as Yah promised. And have built a house for the name of Yah, Elohim of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of Yah, which he made with our fathers, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of Yah, in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Yah, Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim like thee, in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Yah Elohim of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O Elohim of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will Elohim indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to the supplication of Yah my Elohim, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant, and to thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justify the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land, unto the land which thou gavest unto their forefathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest their hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for. For all the people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto Yah toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. And let me check the chapter here. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through the end. At the same time, saith Yah, I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith Yah, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. Yah has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion, unto Yah our Elohim. For thus saith Yah, sing, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chiefs of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yah, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplication will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yah, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For Yah has redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the heights of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yah, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the souls of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yah. Thus saith Yah, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith Yah, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yah, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yah, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art Yah, my Elohim. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith Yah. Set thee up waymarks, and make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel. Turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For Yah has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel. As yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah, and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. Yah bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof, together husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked, and beheld, and my sleep was sweet upon me. Behold, the day is cometh, saith Yah, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with seed of man and with seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up, and to break down, and to throw down, and to destroy, and to afflict, so will I watch over them, to build, and to plant, saith Yah. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth stretched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yah. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that the city shall be built to Yah from the tower of Hanel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall go forth over against it upon the hill of Gareb, and shall compass about the goat, and the whole valley of dead bodies, and of the ashes, and of the fields, unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto Yah. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more forever. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims which you have not known. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. Thank you.
but it's always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? See, God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin it. And with his own finger, it was personally written, but still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians, like when Christ came the Sabbath day start switching, but no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles,
so
like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the menu? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath, and he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the devil definition of Christian was those that follow Christ, and the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness, I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture as written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies, say their face turned blue. Your New Testament refuse, eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. Man, Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read, but who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there is no change. The Lord says he's God and he changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take hallowed issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for his deception.
I'm just giving loving the message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, hallowed and blessed it. My folks is professing, follow Jesus' directions.
Chapter 13, starting in verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign of wonder. I know we did this on last week, but felt like we still need to review this just a little bit. And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other Elohim, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. Now, I want us to take note here, and the reason why I wanted to review this again Because in verse 2, Most High says, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. So this person, you know, the Most High is speaking to them, and, you know, he's doing signs and wonders to them, through them, but then now the Most High is going to use them to test you. Okay, so you may hear, you know, some truth from them, but then all of a sudden they're going to tell you to do something the Most High didn't say do. But actually, they're going to be quite contrary to his word. So verse 2 again, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other Elohim, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or the dreamer of dreams, for Yah, your Elohim, proveth you. I need to see where your heart is at. Are you going to, is your heart to do right by me? Because, see, a lot of people follow men. I know too many people that are that way right now. They follow a man, and they don't follow the Most High. That's why I tell you all the time, don't focus on me. Keep your focus on the Most High. Okay? I'm simply a teacher and a pastor that he has given to you. But your focus should still be on the Most High. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dream, that dreamer of dreams. For Yah, your Elohim, proves you to know whether you love Yah, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul. If you love Yah with all your heart and all your soul, and somebody else come and say, who you've seen, you know, they've performed a wonder, or they have given you a word from the Most High that has been true. You know, it seems like the Most High is with them, but now they're going to tell you to do something that you know is contrary. You know the Most High is going to tell you to go worship. He's going to tell one of his men to tell you to worship another God, another Elohim. He says, I'm going to prove you to see if you really love me with all your heart and with all your soul. Because see, I know people, like I said, they follow men. And I don't care what this man says. They can believe one thing today and let this man say something else that's contrary to what they believe, what they know. Like, one day you believe that the Most High is the Holy Spirit, and somebody tells you Gabriel is, and now you believe Gabriel is because your pastor said it. No, he says that I'm testing you. And if you have a change of heart, or you go to worshiping differently, worshiping another God, he says, you didn't really love me. Because somebody else can just tell you, Most High says, or they can just tell you, hey, we're supposed to worship another God. And however they sell it, he says, well, you really didn't love me. You shall walk after Yah, your Elohim, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from Yah, your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which Yah, thy Elohim, commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Yes, I want to test you to see what you're going to do. Now, this is a judgment because he's telling you to judge this way. If a man, a woman, a prophet, a dreamer, because, you know, Yah gives people dreams, and somebody says, oh, I had a dream, and, you know, we were told to worship this way. And it's worshiping contrary to what Yah has said, or it's worshiping another God. It's, I want to see if you really love me. If thy brother, thy son of thy daughter, thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are around about you, near unto you, or afar off from you, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto them. Don't listen and agree with them, nor hearken unto them, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from Yah thy Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all of Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more such any such wickedness as this among you. If thou shalt hear, say, in one of thy cities, which Yah thy Elohim has given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men of the children of Belial are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of that city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, the Elohim, then thou shalt thou inquire and make search, and ask diligently, is it so? Have these men been teaching this? And behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought or done among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, and the edge of the sword, with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shall burn it with fire, and all the spoil thereof of every whit, for Yah thy Elohim, and it shall be a heap forever, and it shall not be built again. And there shall cleave not of the cursed thing in thy hand, or to thy hand, that Yah may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show thee mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he has sworn to thy fathers. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of Yah thy Elohim, to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of Yah thy Elohim. So we shouldn't hear nobody saying, come and let's worship some other god, period. If you do hear somebody saying that, whether it's a prophet, a pastor, a dreamer of dreams, your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your son, your daughter, your husband or your wife, Yah says, you ain't supposed to have mercy. You're not supposed to have mercy on them. Deuteronomy chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 1. You are the children of Yah, your Elohim. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. Now, evidently, well, I don't know why people would do that. I don't know too many people that got a unibrow, but you know, you're gonna cut baldness between your eyes for the dead. Because somebody's dead. Most High says, don't do it. For thou art a holy people unto Yah thy Elohim, and Yah has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto him above all the nations that are upon the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which thou shalt eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat, the hart and the roebuck, and the fallow deer, and the wild goat, and the pigard. Let me see what that is. What kind of animal that is? I don't recognize that name. Leaper, like the antelope. So an antelope. And the wild ox. And the chamois. And let's see what that is. Chamois, a gazelle. These are all from the deer family. And every beast that parteth the hoof and cleaveth the cleft into the claws and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that you shall eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat of them that chew the cud, of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel and as the hare and as the coney, for they chew the cud, but they divide not the hoof. Therefore, they are unclean unto you. And the swine, because it divideth not the hoof, because it divided the hoof, yet cheweth, let me start over. And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. These you shall eat of all that are in the waters. All that have fins and scales you shall eat. You know, I had a sister try to tell me that, what was it? I like, good grief. Grouper. And grouper has fins and scales. And I like, but she tried to tell me that grouper was unclean. I said, I'm sorry, but it says all that has fins and scales, you shall eat. They are, whether you like to taste them or not, that's one thing. But, that, you know, telling people that they are unclean when they fit the description, okay? And whatsoever has not fins and scales, you may not eat. It is unclean unto you. So, catfish don't have scales. They have fins, but they don't have scales. Of all the clean birds, you shall eat. But these are they which you shall not eat, the eagle and the osprey. Now, these are all birds of prey. The ostrich and the osprey. The gliddy, let me see how that's pronounced. One moment. Let me see how this word is pronounced. Well, that don't make no sense. Ra'ah, but it's G-L-D-E. And it is a vulture. The kite, which is a type of vulture or a hawk. The vulture after his kind. And every raven after his kind. The owl and the nighthawk and the cock owl. And the hawk after his kind. These are all birds that are meat eaters. Or, you know, they will scavenge. They will drop down on dead carrion. They won't, you know, even a lot of them will kill their own prey, but they're meat eaters. The owl and the great owl and the swan and the pelican and the gear owl and the gear eagle and the cormorant and the stork and the heron after her kind and the lapwing and the bat. Now, a lapwing. Let's see. Hold on just a second. The grouse. Now, I'm going to have to look that bird up. Some people may be eating it and don't know it. But I thought that was like a pheasant. But the grouse, after his kind, the lapwing. Every creeping thing that filleth, that flies is unclean unto you, they shall not be eaten. But all of the clean fowls you may eat. You shall not eat of anything that dies of itself. So we are given a list of all the animals we can and cannot eat. Now he's saying, even of those animals that you can eat, you cannot eat one that dies of itself. Thou shalt give it unto a stranger that is in thy gate, that he may eat it. So it's okay for the Gentiles to eat those things. He said you give those to them, the stranger that is in thy gate, that he may eat it, and thou mayest sell it unto the alien. For thou art a holy people. Now the reason you can't eat these things, he just told you, because thou art a holy set-aside people. Unto Yah thy Elohim, thou shalt not seize a kid in his mother's milk. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. So, you know, for those who don't tithe, you know, it is not anything I'm going to even harp on. because you have to answer to the Most High for that. And thou shalt eat before Yah thy Elohim, in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of the corn, and of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and thy flocks, thou mayest learn to fear that thou mayest learn to fear Yah thy Elohim always. Always fear him. Now, the tithe of the third year during this time, the tithe of the third year was brought, you know, and set up to have a party with the Most High. Other than that, the tithe belonged to the priesthood. But the tithe of the third year was brought and it was set up and the people came to whatever city the Most High told them to come to. It says, now buy whatever your hearts desire and you're going to have a party with me and you're going to eat of the tithe. Okay? And the poor and the Levite, everybody's going to eat of this tithe. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, if you have to come a long ways and you are, you know, you're tithing at this time with crops. If the way be too long for thee, so that thou are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which Yah thy Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yah thy Elohim has blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money. Bind up the money in thine hand, and shall go into the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusts after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat therefore before Yah thy Elohim. He's talking about the same tithe that is holy, okay? But he's saying in this particular tithe, and we'd have to go back and get it, the tithe of the third year, then you, if it was too far away for you to carry it, then he says, hey, convert it to money, come to the place where I tell you to come, and then buy whatever your soul desires and come and party with me. It's basically what he's saying. Come and party with me because it's going to be a festive time and it's to be spent with the Most High. And thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household, and the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, yeah, there it is, thou shalt bring forth all thy tithe, the increase of the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he has no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yah thy Elohim may bless thee in the work of thine hand which thou doest. So this is the tithe of the third year. Okay? You know, I know we just be tithing. We don't be keeping up with years and all those things, but really... There's a time when we're supposed to come before the Most High. You know, the tithe is holy. And it was really supposed to go to the Levite, and they would gather. But it says the tithe of the third year, you come and lay it up. Now the Levites and the fatherless, the homeless, the widow, everybody's going to come and eat of that tithe. And if it's too far for you to carry it, then you convert it, whatever it's worth is to money, come and then buy the things that you need to, you know, to party with the Most High, wherever he put his name at. You know, when we get in the land, whether it's the community, you know, in northern Arizona or whether the Most High calls us back to Israel, either way, I think this is something that we ought to observe. And every third year, you know, we have the tithe of the third year, and we come before the Most High and we celebrate, you know, with his tithe. That's what he commands, okay, the tithe of the third year. And at the end of every 7 years, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 15, starting in verse 1. So it is a commandment that every third year, the tithe is supposed to be used to, you know, celebrate before the Most High. He even said, hey, whatever your soul desires, go and buy it. Whether it's meat or wine or strong drink, whatever your heart desires, you'll come and party with him at that time. Okay. And at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. So every 7 years, you know, amongst ourselves, you know, like I had a sister ask me if I would give them a loan. And, you know, how much would I charge them? I said, if I gave you a loan, the scriptures don't allow me to charge you interest. Can't charge a Hebrew, another fellow saint, interest on money that is a loan. It's a loan. Okay, without, it's interest free. So you pay it back. Now, if I say it's a love offering, then it's a love offering. You don't have to pay it back. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth out ought unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called Yah's release. That means you forgive them. You no longer owe that debt, whatever it is. And so, you know, you have a lot of people be scheming, well, it's the 6th year. If I get money from them in the 6th year, in the 7th year, you know, I might have to make payments on it for a year, but in the 7th year, they got to forgive me. Or of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again. Now, if this is somebody that's not of Israel, whether it's a stranger, you know, because strangers, they join Israel, they become one as Israel, they'll be treated as Israel. But when he's a foreigner, this person is a stranger to Israel, and they have not joined Israel. They may be living in the land, but they have not joined. It says you can exact that debt on them again. But that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. So if it's, you know, as long as they are Israel, then you are supposed to, in every 7 years, release them from any debt that they have. If they sold you their land, you have to give their land back to them. Now, this verse I love. The next verse. Say when there shall be no poor among you. Now, Messiah said the poor you always have with you. Why? Because people won't do what's in this verse. For Yah shall greatly bless thee in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of Yah thy Elohim to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. Now, in another place, it will tell you to open your hand to the poor. And if everybody's opening their hands to the poor, they can't stay poor. So he says, when there is no poor among you, but because we keep our hands closed, we don't want to give to the poor. There's a reason that they're poor. Oh, they must be doing drugs. Or they must be, you know, be in sin. Whatever it is, the Most High says, if it's your brother or your sister, you're to open your hands to them. Okay. For Yah thy Elohim blesses thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. So we know that we are in a bad state because we ain't lending to nobody. And we're the ones doing the borrowing. But thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Well, wait a minute. We're in the land of our captors. See what we, our forefathers, see what they threw away? You're going to be the one to lend to all the nations if you do what I say. And you shall not borrow from them. You shall rule over many nations. And they shall not rule over you. See what they threw away? And those nations know that the word says this, and you think that You think that they want Israel to rule over them? No way. That's why they try their best to do everything they can to keep Israel down, to keep you, you know, uneducated, to make it hard on you in the economy, make it hard for you to get a loan. If you get a loan, then they're charging you higher interest than what they're charging somebody else, people of the same persuasion. Or if, you know, either charging you higher interest or, you know, making your terms harder. In all areas, because they don't want Israel to get up where the Most High said. Okay? If there be poor, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates, in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand, this is the verse I was talking about, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and he shall surely lend him sufficient for his need. Don't just give him enough to get by. Because that is going to make sure that he stays poor. Okay? But you shall give him sufficient for his need in that which he wanted. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not. Because you say, oh, it's the sixth year. I'm going to have to forgive him next year, so I'm not going to give him the money. And he cry unto Yah against thee, and it be sin unto thee. So this is something that we definitely have to do better as people. And, we, you know, we're not even living by these laws, I know. We're in the land of, we say, our captivity. But yet we don't live as a community anyway. Even when we have a bunch of us together, it seems like we go to Sabbath class and that's it. Go to, you know, the Bible study, but living, as he said, as a community and living by the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High. If y'all know differently, let me know. But I don't think so. Okay, and this is something that definitely came into the New Testament, came into the New Covenant. This wasn't done away with, this stuff. But, you know, when we're in the land of our captivity, we try to use every excuse not to do what the Most High said do. Even down to, like I said, his judgment. You know, because, our sister told me, she said, hey, we ain't in the land. So if I were to keep the judgments of the Most High, they would come and get me and throw me in jail or kill me. I said, well, he tells you, the Most High tells you, you better fear him more than you fear men. And so if you're fearing men more than him, what's wrong with that picture? Well, I don't care. Okay, I'm just making sure you know what you're saying. So he says, you know, we are under the curse because we don't obey. We don't have communities where we live by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. Even where we, there is no reason whatsoever in the continental U.S. or any of its tributaries that we can't live by these laws and commandments and ordinances. None. We just don't do it. We just don't do it. If the Mormons can live here and the Quakers can live here and live by their own rules on their own land, how is it that Israel can say they can't because we're not in the land? It is foolishness. It is being fearful. It is just flat out rebellion, disobedience. Let's just call it what it is. It's disobedience. Because there's no reason whatsoever. Can't tell me the Mormons can say they can live by their rules in their state, in their territory. And if you say that it's religious, this country says you worship how you want. You live how you want. So there's no reason that we should not be doing it. That's why, you know, we bought the land so that we can live by the rules of the Most High, live by his commandments, live by his statutes. There is no reason whatsoever for us not to be doing it. In the way he says to do it. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in the land. The poor ain't going to never decrease if you don't ever do what he said to do. They're not going to decrease out of the land. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. Now, before he said the woman wasn't to go out. But here he says, if thy brother, and we got to go back and see if the Most High, if there's another reference verse on this, because I believe in Exodus or Leviticus, he says that the woman is not to go out. But here he's saying, if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. Now, don't say anything about her, but a lot of times when the scriptures are talking about him and her, it may only say him, but be applying to both genders. So, you know, I need to put a question mark by this one and see if there's other scripture in this concerning this. Now, we know that we don't have slaves today. Okay. When we go back into the land, trust is going to go back to this. Okay. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith Yah thy Elohim has blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and Yah thy Elohim redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he shall say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. So this was changed, and the woman was to go out free. Before he said, you know, and I have to look at the verses, and I have to look and see if there's more than one witness to this. But he's saying, also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. So there was a change. What we read in Exodus or Leviticus, I have to see where those verses are, because the woman servant wasn't to go out at the end of 6 years. The man servant was, but he just said, you know, like the man servant, if he said, I love my master, I don't want to go out, you know, I'm well here. He says, and you were to pierce his ear, and he will be your servant forever. Now, that concept to us, because we don't have servants like that in this land, not saying that you couldn't, but, you know, the people would come against it for sure. Our people coming out of slavery, the other nations. But it's clearly supported by the Most High. Okay? So if you have somebody that says, I want to serve you, I want to work for you, then what y'all decide between yourselves and the Most High, I'm going to say you leave that between yourselves and the Most High. I would have to say it that way. Leave it between yourselves and the Most High. But it is permitted by the scripture. And it shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee. For he has been a worth a double hire servant to thee. In serving thee 6 years, and Yah thy Elohim shall bless thee in all that thou doest. So, number one, if it's a Hebrew man or a woman, according to the scriptures, number one, you are not supposed to treat them like a servant anyway. You could treat them like a hired hand. Even though they sold themselves to you, you have to treat them like a hired hand. Just like, you let them go home every day. They report to you at work. Or if they wanted to live in your house and you wanted them to live in your house and they didn't have any place else to live, then they would live in your house and report to work like a hired hand. Okay. And then at the end of that 6 years, because they should have worked for you and helped bless you, then you were to give them out of your substance and then send them out empty. Now, again, it says the same way for the maidservant. So I have to look and see what the other witnesses in the scripture say concerning this thing, because I know for sure that there's a verse that says that the woman, the maid servant, was not to go out. And then if the man was given a wife while he was in service, and that wife was one of the owner's maid servants, then she still belonged to the owner. Even the kids she had belonged to the owner. Her husband didn't even own the kids. So we have to look for further witness to this. Okay. All the firstling males that come of thy herd, of the flock that thou shalt sanctify unto Yah thy Elohim, thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullocks, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. Now, so the first bull out of the womb, and there's a difference between a bull and a cow. The bullock was not to be put to work. The first sheep out of the womb from the flock was not supposed to be sheared. Thou shalt eat it before Yah thy Elohim year by year in the place where Yah shall choose, thou and thine household. So this would be the fatted calf or the fatted sheep. You weren't supposed to work them. And you weren't supposed to shear them. But he says, you shall eat it. So it's going to be a sacrifice at some time. And if there be any blemish therein, if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto Yah thy Elohim. Thou shalt eat it within thy gates. The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike, as the roebuck and as the hart. Only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof, and thou shalt pour it upon the ground as water. Okay, so the firstling, the first bull of the flock, no yoke was supposed to be put on it. That was holy to Yah, and you were to sacrifice it to Yah. And the first sheep that came out of the womb was dedicated to Yah. And he said you weren't to shear it. But if it was blemished, then you go ahead and whenever you want, kill it and eat it, because you can't actually sacrifice that one to Yah because it had a blemish. And everybody could eat of it. The clean and the unclean. If it was holy, only the clean could eat of it, and not the unclean. Because remember, if you're unclean, you can't take any part of anything holy. That was even the sacrifices. Remember, no blood. Drain the blood out of it. Verse Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep, now Abib means earring. And that was the month that they came out of Egypt, the first month. We now call that month today Nisan. And I think that's from the Babylonian calendar. But there is no calendar that I'm aware of that has all of the Hebrew months or all of the Hebrew months, names of the months, or the Babylonian months. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yah thy Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yah thy Elohim brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Yah thy Elohim of the flock and of the herd in the place which Yah shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when Yah thy Elohim thou shalt remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there be anything of flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at evening. Remain all night until the morning. So the only way you can really honor this, whatever meal you prepare for Passover, number one, you're not going to be sacrificing a lamb anymore. Not going to be putting the blood over your door. But the meal that you prepare for Passover, none of it should be left till the next day to honor the Passover, to keep the spirit of it. So no leftovers, no Tupperware. You know, if you cook, whatever you cook needs to be enough for that night. If you are alone, whatever you cook needs to be enough for your meal that night, and you need to eat it and make sure it's all gone. Nothing is left until the morning. Can't take it out of your house to the neighbors. Can't bundle it up and give it to a neighbor either. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, but at the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose to place his name in, there shalt thou sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. Now, again, since we can't sacrifice the Passover, because we don't have, number one, we're not in the land, and the Passover represented sin. And so Messiah is that Passover. He is that lamb. And thou shalt roast it and eat it in the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose. And thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tent. Now, here, they are to go wherever Yah told them to go to keep the Passover. Because he says, thou shalt roast it in the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tent. That means that they're in temporary quarters. If you're in a city, you're not going to be out in a tent. Okay, if you're coming from far away, whatever city he says to go to, and the people that live in that city are not going to be in a tent, but those people coming from far away, who are like at tabernacles, there's no, like when Messiah was born, there was no place at the inn. And we know that he was born around that time because Mary and Joseph, it says that it was their custom to come to Passover. Doesn't necessarily mean that they always came to tabernacles. And especially the further away you lived, this is why in Acts chapter 15, you know, Peter's saying, hey, why are you going to put a burden on the Gentiles, which we ourselves weren't able to bear? The further away we got from Jerusalem or wherever the Most High said to put his name at, the less likely, you know, we could travel. It wasn't like they had jet planes or cars. So they could just have left a feast day, say Passover, and they travel, and it's a month's travel to where they live. And a month later, they got to leave again for like to get ready to come back for Pentecost. And so it started becoming a burden. It actually started becoming where they couldn't keep it. And thou shalt roast it. Okay, verse 8. 6 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread. Now it's saying 6 days. Everywhere else it'll say 7 days. Okay, and people think that, people don't understand that the Feast of Unleavened starts with Passover. And this is where the Most High changed to that. You know, changed the wording. Because he said, you know, the 15th is the Feast of Unleavened, and it lasts 7 days. But it was really meaning that the first day of Unleavened is Passover. You can't have any leavening. So you can't eat the Passover with leavened bread. So you're eating unleavened already. Now it's telling you here the next 6 days are the Feast of Unleavened. Not the next 7 days, but the next 6 days. So you have Passover, and then you have the Feast of Unleavened starting, but it only lasts for 6 days. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to Yah thy Elohim. Thou shalt do no work therein. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. So 7 weeks from Passover Sabbath. Begin the number of 7 weeks from such a time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks as Pentecost unto Yah thy Elohim with the tribute of a free will offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto Yah thy Elohim, according to as Yah thy Elohim has blessed thee. And thou shalt rejoice before Yah thy Elohim, thou and thy son, and thy daughters. Now there is a commandment there to give a free will offering to Yah for Pentecost. And thou shalt rejoice before Yah thy Elohim, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gate and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which Yah thy Elohim has chosen to place his name there. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt. And thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. And after that, thou shalt gather in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days thou shalt keep a solemn feast unto Yah thy Elohim, in the place which Yah shall choose, because Yah thy Elohim shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all thy works of thy hand. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Shall be happy when Yah is blessing you, and you should be able to show it, not just being happy, but also to help, you know, the fatherless, the widow, the homeless, all those people who are having a hard time. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before Yah thy Elohim in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. All the males have to attend those 3 feasts. It doesn't say the women do. 3 times in a year shall all thy males, and they shall not appear before Yah empty. What does that mean? They need to be bringing an offering. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of Yah thy Elohim, which he has given thee. So this is not a tithe. Let me change that. This is a tithe, because a tithe means it's a payment to God, to the Most High. But it's an offering that all males 3 times a year have to come and make. And they make it according to the blessing Yah has given them. So for some people, Yah might have richly blessed. Then they should be giving according to how they were blessed. Verse 18, judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. So, you know, we have to set up judges, but we don't want to self-govern. We'd rather let our captors judge us. You know, even in the New Testament, Messiah said, hey, why are you taking these matters of the church to the world? You should judge amongst yourselves. You're supposed to have a different standard than the world. And so you should judge amongst yourselves. And you don't take, you know, your brother or your sister to court. But you already have the statutes, laws, and commandments and the judgments of the Most High to go by. But they'd rather use the judgments of the world. Why? Because the Most High's judgments are stiff. We'd rather them judge us. How much do we really want to be the people of the Most High? Well, Most High, we want you, but we don't want to live by your standards. We want to claim you, but we want to live by their standards. We want to live by their statutes. We want to live by their judgments. Because if we break yours, it requires our life. They just might make us spend 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 years in jail. But you say you require our life. We would rather be judged by them. That's what Israel has done. That's what the church has done. Want to be judged by man's standards and the standards of the world, the country that they live in, rather than the judgments of the Most High, rather than bringing up just judges. But the judges would still have to be, they would still have to follow the rule of the Most High. Can't overrule him. Thou shalt not rest judgment. Now, this word rest, spread out by implication to bend away, used in a great variety of applications. Apply, bow, carry aside, decline, deliver, extend, go down. I'm thinking that the when he's saying don't do it, he's saying don't spread it out. So when you come to do judgment, then you should be hearing the case and making a judgment. You know, what I mean by hearing the case, actually hearing the case. And then you render a judgment. You deliberate and render a judgment. He says, don't stretch it out. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. You know, here they are, they're going to be tainted because this person gave them a gift and to sway their judgment. I need you to be on my side. They just bought your judgment then. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of Yah thy Elohim, which thou shalt make thee. Neither shall, now this grove of trees, why does he say don't plant a grove of trees by his altar? Because this is what they did with Asherah. Asherah, which is Esther, which is the same god as for Easter, fertility god, they used to plant a grove of trees next to the altar for her. And what they were doing in those trees, only Yah knows. Neither shalt thou set up any image which Yah thy Elohim hated. So how does the Catholic Church have images of quote-unquote Jesus and Mary in the cathedral? Even the pictures of Messiah near the altar ain't supposed to be there. No picture. He says, you shall not set up any image, which Yahweh Elohim hated. But he told us before, you shall not make unto you any graven images. So portraits of what you might think Messiah looks like, whether you want, you know, don't you want him to represent somebody black or white, just don't put any up. That would keep you safe in the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto Yahweh Elohim any bullock or sheep wherein is a blemish, or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto Yahweh Elohim. I only want the best. If there be found among you within thy gates, which Yahweh Elohim giveth thee, man or woman that has wrought wickedness, that has done wickedness in the sight of Yahweh Elohim, in transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods, and worshiped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded. And if it be told thee, and thou hast heard it, and inquired diligently, you know, you just didn't somebody come and hearsay, but you got facts. You got hard evidence. And behold, it be true, and a thing certain, that such an abomination is wrought or done in Israel, then thou shalt bring forth that man or that woman which has committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman shall stone them with stones till they die. Now again, this is the Most High's judgment. He said, hey, if you find somebody like this, this is what's to be done. You don't really get a choice in the matter. He didn't say you shall judge them and find leniency. He says the judgment is you shall stone them at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses. Shall he that is worthy of death be put to death? But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. So, you know, that's why even with Messiah, when they tried to trick him with the woman, you know, saying they caught her in adultery. Number one, they didn't bring the man. Number two, you got to have more than one witness. And when he says, let he that is without sin cast the first stone, and they all left, well, then now the law couldn't be fulfilled. Because one witness, even if it was Messiah, was not enough to put her to death. The law says one witness, he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witness shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So shall you put evil away from among you. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, between matters of controversy within thy gates, then thou shalt arise and get thee up into the place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose. And thou shalt come in unto the priest of the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire. And they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. So if something is too hard, and it hasn't been, the Most High hasn't judged on it, and you can't judge between yourselves, because there's a lot of things he doesn't talk about. The things that he says are for death, that's what he wants. But he says, you know, if you come and you're judging between blood and blood, plea and plea, and it's just too hard, then you ought to bring it to, in the New Testament, it says bring it to the church. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which thou shalt choose shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgments which they shall tell thee. thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand or to the left. Now, if you can't break the judgment of these brothers, the Levites, and the judge that he says he sets in place, can't decrease it, how are you going to decrease the judgments of the Most High, the things he has already judged on? And the man that will do presumptuously, now, and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before Yah, thy Elohim, unto the judge, even that man shall die. Thou shalt put away evil from Israel. So he says, let's go back and read this again so we understand. If thou do according to the sentence, I will see. Back to verse 8, so that we have understanding. If there arise a matter too hard for thee to judge, for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, husband and wife, father and daughter, father and son, cousins, between plea and plea, you know, you got two people just coming against each other, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise. Now, if the Most High hadn't spoken on this matter, and they're judging on it, so if it get too hard, people don't, you know, can't come to a decision, he says, get thee up into a place which Yah, thy Elohim, shall choose, and thou shalt come into the priest, the Levite, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire. And they shall show thee the sentence of the judgment, of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence, whatever they say, which they of the place which Yah shall choose shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee. Thou shalt do, and thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand or to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously, he's going to take it upon himself, and will not hearken or listen unto the priest that stands to minister there before Yah, thy Elohim, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. So this matter has come to the court of the Most High. He says, okay, get a priest and get a judge. Those them show you the judgment concerning within the law and the statutes. They're going to make the determination. Whatever they determine, that's what you do. And then if somebody don't agree with it, he didn't say they could appeal it. He says if they don't agree with it and they don't do it and will not listen and will not do it, then they were supposed to die. Now that right there, the infraction itself, whatever they were arguing about, may not have been worthy of death. But because this person has now become presumptuous and disobedient, they're supposed to die. So that you put away evil from Israel. So we wouldn't have a whole lot of arguments. In the New Testament, it says, hey, go get an elder. If the person, you know, you got an out with your brother or your sister, you take it up with them first. And then if they won't listen to you, you go get an elder, you go to the church, get some witnesses. And if they won't listen to witnesses, then put them out, put them into the world. But if they're really trying to live by the statutes and commandments of the Most High, then that should be like a death sentence to them, because they can't commune with you anymore. And really, the truth of the matter is, because we don't have community, and because we're not, you know, functioning as a single organization, they might find someplace else to go, someplace that will take them in. But brother, where are you coming from? Well, I'm coming from over here, and we just didn't get along. Okay, well, you can fellowship here. Never find out, really, why is the brother not over there anymore? Well, they said, you know, we brought this thing to the church, and the church said to do this, and I just wasn't willing to do it. So I left. Then the other church should say, okay, you can't be here either. Because what if the same thing happens here? Then you're not going to be, you're not going to submit yourself to authority. So it's the same difference, except for he don't say kill them in the New Testament to put them away. You know, but I have to go look in that, at that again to make sure what it's saying. Here in Torah, he's saying that person that if they become presumptuous and won't obey, they're supposed to die. I'm going to have to read what's in the New Testament to make sure that it wasn't changed or, you know, that I wasn't Christianized and it was just, you know, drive them out from you, put them out. But when we come into the New Testament, I'll make sure that, that we look into this. The law called for their death at this point. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. When thou art come unto the land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom Yah thy Elohim shall choose. Who's supposed to choose the king? Yah. Worm from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brethren. So Yah says, we ain't supposed to be serving no other nations. And when we are in our own land, if we get a king, we can't make somebody else of another nation a king. Verse 16. But he, the one as you elected king, shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as Yah has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Now the king is not supposed to multiply wives to himself. David multiplied wives to himself. Mostly all the kings did, but they were not supposed to. That his heart be turned away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So the priesthood and the king were not to multiply wives to themselves. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which he is before the priest of the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear Yah, his Elohim, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. This is the heart, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment. So because he's king, that he don't become what? Puffed up. To the right hand or to the left. To the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And with that, let's stop here for today. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your rich word on this evening. Father, we thank you always. You have said that if we are in conflict one with another, that we should have judges among us to help us judge, and that they should judge righteous judgment. And if we should not be able to solve it, then we should take it to the priesthood, that they might get a word from you. And that whatever you have said in the matter, if they will not hearken unto it, at this point, they were supposed to die. Father, I believe in your word, in the New Testament, the New Covenant, you said that they were to just be put out. They were to be anathema, disowned. You're no longer part of us, cut off from their people. Father, today, thou knowest the hearts of men, and men don't even fear or even care about that. They'll go find someplace else who won't inquire and find out what the truth of the matter is, that the brother or the sister can truly be, you know, repent, turn from their wicked ways. Father, help us to live the way that you would have us to live, especially in these last days, that our life reflect the fear of you and the proper respect of you, which is fear and trembling, that we won't transgress thy word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, the new moon service for December is on the 3rd of December. And I'll start putting it in the message going out. And so we want to be ready for that. On tomorrow morning, we will continue in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, part 35. We will start in Deuteronomy chapter 18. I did start on the hyperponic system, didn't get to finish it. And then I put some ends on that I didn't glue them, but, you know, I sort of knocked them on. Now I got to knock them off because I actually didn't need them. Was thinking one thing, and anyway, I got to take them off so that I can finish this up. And I'm gonna can't wait for after Sabbath tomorrow so I can get back to work on that. But I don't want to say it like that because that means like I'm trying to rush the Sabbath. But I want to get back to it. So it's not like, yeah, you know, I love the Most High Sabbath, so I don't even want to even portray anything like that. I love His Sabbath, and I love observing, and I will not do my own pleasure on His Sabbath. So I don't want that to come across that way. With that being said, may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the The mishpacha good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? I don't have you. It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a